and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my
I'd like to invite you this morning over to the Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 5. The Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 5. The Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 5 reads this way. It says, "And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had now been there a long time, in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole?" Then drop down to verse 14, and it says this, "Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, thanking you again, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And then, Lord, knowing that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. So we thank you for your presence this morning. And we do ask you, Lord, and I pray it's in the heart of each and every one of your children that would say, "Yes, Lord, fill me with thy Holy Spirit that I might hear from you and worship you in spirit and in truth." And we'll thank you for that, Lord. Bless your word, bless your people, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, "Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole?" And that really, that expression has more to it than meets the eye, and a lot of times that's overlooked. And this morning, we're going to consider that from a person who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Wilt thou be made whole? And also from the perspective of a child of God, where the Lord would say, "Wilt thou be made whole?" But first of all, we have to realize we have an infirmity. Our infirmity is sin that separates us from our Heavenly Father, amen, as a lost person, but then also as a saved child of God. Wilt thou be made whole? And so this morning we're going to consider a place where God works, God's mercy on mankind, and God's only mode of blessing, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always been him from the very beginning. And so we're going to consider the word Bethesda, which is a place here that was this event had taken place. And I would dare say, if it wasn't for the Lord, we would know little to probably nothing about Bethesda. It's the Lord that brought attention to it and brought, if you will, reputation to it as well. But let's consider this idea of "Wilt thou be made whole?" Let's look at it from a perspective of a lost person. Wilt thou be made whole? Well, that would be like saying to the person, well, it's a little bit different than this, but what if you told somebody, "Hey, listen, would you like to escape the fires of hell? Would you like to escape the fires of hell?" Well, sure, anybody in their right mind would say, "Absolutely, I would like to escape the fires of hell." But that's not what the Lord's talking about. Let's look at it from the perspective of a condemned individual to death, right? Somebody who's been put in prison, they're on death row, they committed murder, if you will, and they're going to be put to death. What if somebody went to them, "Hey, would you like to escape? Would you like to forego the death sentence?" What do you think they're going to say if they're in their right mind? "Absolutely. But wait a minute, here's what's really important. Would you be made whole? Would you like to stop whatever it is that you did, murder in this case, that put you in prison? See, that's a completely different question. When the Lord says, would thou be made whole? He's not talking about us escaping judgment, but would we like to be corrected? Would we like to forego and give up those things that condemn us? That's what it means to be made whole before the Lord. Would you like to be made whole like Adam was before the fall? Amen? Hey, would you like to be made whole like the Son of God is, that we are to emulate by His grace and by His power? See, that's the whole thing. People say, oh, well, sure, I want to. Yes, I know I'm a sinner. Oh, yes, I want to escape. But that's not being made whole. That's just simply using an excuse, really, or a get out of hell-free card. But that's not redemption. That's not being made whole. And so there are people that have no intention of ever changing their lives. But I'll say a little prayer if that'll get me out of hell. And by the way, it won't. You can say your little prayer, but unless God makes us whole, we're going to miss out on who the Lord is. And so this morning, let me ask you this question. Why are you here? Why are you here? Are you here because it's your habit? It's your ritual? It's your routine? Or are you here to hear from the Lord? Are you here to hear what God has to say and walk in the truth that God has revealed? See, because if we're not careful, we can go Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and be hearers only and not doers of the Word of God. God doesn't want us to be hearers only. God wants us to be doers of the Word of God. Doers when? When we're at church? Or doers every day of the week, all the time, see? And so we can look at this from the perspective of a lost person, but we can also look at it from the perspective of a saved child of God. Would you be made whole? That's the whole purpose why God saved us, so that we would honor and glorify Him and not just have a get out of hell card at the end of life and live however we want to live. We're missing God. The Pharisees did that, and they had all kinds of rules that they were impressed with. Oh, look what we do, and look what we don't do. And Lord, I'm glad I'm not like this sinner over here. But listen, they were whited sepulchers in the eyes of God, condemned and unclean and rejected with their routine and with their ritual. They rejected the Lord Himself. Amen. That's not the place to be. There's a lot of people that can walk in a routine or in a ritual and miss God, and they thought they were pretty proud of themselves. Look what I'm doing. That's not the right way to live life. It's not about what I'm doing. It ought to be what God has done and is doing in our lives. If you read the Word of God, maybe you're looking to the God of your understanding and missing the God of the Word of God and the Scriptures. And so, let's back up here in verse 1, and let's consider this place where God was working. Notice what it says in verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, which means house of mercy or flowing waters. All right, so it says Bethesda having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Why were they waiting for the moving of the water? Verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So these people, first of all, recognized they had some kind of a disease. In this particular case, this man couldn't walk. Isn't that amazing? This man was, and he knew it. And so the first thing that we need to realize is we're crippled, spiritually speaking. We have a problem. By the way, before salvation, we have to realize I have nothing to give God. Amen. The best that we can give God is marred by sin. And so nothing we could give God will ever satisfy the righteousness of God, because we are unrighteous. So the question has to be from God, wilt thou be made whole? because we have no power within ourselves to make ourselves whole, no matter how much we persist or persevere or rededicate or commit to God. God says, I won't accept your righteousness. It can't be that way. But when he makes the invitation and when we hear it from him, the offer comes from the Lord, then the Holy Spirit is working and can get our attention. So let me ask you this question. Did this man have an interest in being made whole? Yes. Why would he go? I don't know if he lived at this pool, by the pool. I would dare say he probably went. I don't even know how he got home. Did he drag himself home? I don't know. Was it some of his friends? Because he didn't have any friends to stay there with him for the troubling of the water to help him into the water. And so this man, first of all, realized this. He understood there was a problem. So likewise also for the life of the believer and the unbeliever, we have to realize there's a problem. How do I know what the problem is? I know what the problem is by the Lord saying, this is righteous and this is wrong. Amen? And so what is in my life? As a lost person, sure, I can see I'm undone. But wait a minute, how about as a saved person? Am I walking in the strength of the flesh, fulfilling the lust of the flesh? Or am I in the Spirit, fulfilling the will of God in my own life? And God is bringing me to the place of overcoming the sin that would so easily beset us. Or have I come to the place to say, well, what do you do about that? I guess I praise the Lord, I'm going to heaven, but I won't be made whole. Oh, I believe I'm going to heaven. I said a prayer, but I won't be made whole. In other words, that would be like a person saying, listen, to that condemned individual that's on death row. And by the way, how about the drug addict? You're in rehab. Would you be made whole, or do you just want to get out of rehab? And when you get out of rehab, you're just going to go back to the old life. You see the difference? God wants us to be made whole. God does not want us to have a defeated life. That is not the light of God in us. Listen, God does not want our lip service to other people. You think that's palatable to the lost world? Well, let me tell you how to live. No. Let me see how you live. Let me see what the difference is that God has made in your life. Because if God hasn't made a difference in your life, save it. They don't want to hear it. It's not impressive. If the love of God is not ruling and reigning, and the power of God not ruling and reigning in our lives, we are an embarrassment to God's name. We do nothing to honor the Lord to walk in our strength. Can we? No, we cannot walk in our power and honor God. In fact, here's what our power does. We won't tell one person about Jesus in a whole week. We won't pray the Lord of the harvest because, listen, did Jesus pray? Did Jesus care about souls being saved? How about us? Should we not care as well? Should it not burden us? Oh, God, listen, My family that's lost needs to be saved. Or have we come to this idea? Well, they should have got saved a long time ago. Been praying for them for years. I just guess I'll quit. Is that God's spirit? No, not at all. God will labor. God is not going to tire in doing that which is right. So likewise, in the life of the believer, would we be made whole? I'm afraid. Listen, I am concerned. There are a lot of people that profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ that are not made whole. You can just, listen, you can see the Spirit of God in the life of an individual by what they say, by how they react to different things. Listen, are they pliable in the hands of God? Are they a vessel for the glory of God or for themselves? Are they concerned about what God has said or what they think should be done? This is what I think ought to be done. Well, show me in the Word of God, because that is the rule for the life of the believer. And by the way, it is the rule for those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, because God is God over all. And so, as we look at this, we find that this man understood that he had a personal need that maybe God could supply. Listen, he wanted to walk. How about us as believers? Do we want to walk in the ways of God, or have we given up on that? Do we really want to honor God in His grace and in His glory? Or have we given up on that? Then we need to take serious the things that we know already to do them by the grace of God and not excuse them. We need to take what we know that we might even know that we're failing in and bring them before the Lord and say, God, I need you to fix this problem in my life. I need you to be my strength. I need to abide in you that you might fulfill your will in my life. That's somebody, I dare say, that would be made whole by the Lord God Himself. Amen. So watch what happens here. In verse 3, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now look at verse 5. A certain man, God is zeroing in on a certain man. And here's what he says. Was there which had an infirmity 38 years. So he was not born with this infirmity, but he had it for 38 years. So I would dare say he's older than 38 years old. And so he's got this problem. And by the way, the Lord has already been doing some things, been working. And I don't know, maybe he didn't know who Jesus was quite yet. I don't know. But he was going to one of God's angels because there was a reputation of the healing waters, right? Okay, but here's the problem. God, the Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is greater than any angel. In fact, God doesn't even have to trouble the water. He could just speak a word. Isn't that right? And so one greater than an angel was right in his very presence. And so we find this certain man. He was there for 38 years in this condition. And notice what it says here in verse 6. When Jesus saw him, what? He was helpless. When Jesus saw his helplessness, Jesus saw that, didn't he? And knew that he had been, listen, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. Do you think the Lord knew exactly how long that man was in that case? To the very second? Absolutely. Hey, you want to know something? The Lord knows exactly our case and where we're at to the second. Amen. And and do you know that God knows, you may not know this, God knows that he could make us whole. Amen. Is God able, see, we have to look to him now, to make us whole? Amen. That means not to just escape the condemnation of wrongdoing, but to escape the wrongdoing itself that put us in that place in the first place. Does God know he can do that? How about this? Do we know that God can deliver us? That's the true question. Do we believe that? Or have we just settled for, well, I'm just going to lean to the God of my understanding. Well, guess what? You won't be made whole. You cannot look to yourself or to the God of your understanding. You must look to the God of the Bible. You must look to the God of all creation that says, listen, this is why I've come. Do you have enough faith in the God who's made the promises? Listen, they were overthrown in the wilderness because they did not believe. They walked in unbelief and there was no faith in them. No trust that God could perform what he's promised in their lives. So notice this. Verse 6 again, he says, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? What a question. What a question. Do you know God asks that of you and I today if you're his child? Wilt thou be? By the way, he was an Israelite. God didn't say, in fact, listen, if he was condemned, God wouldn't be concerned about his sins. He's already condemned, but he's an Israelite. He was concerned about his physical disability. God's concerned about our spiritual disabilities that are crippling us for the glory of God. See, many people say, yes, I want to hear the word of God until I have to deal with myself. I don't mind saying a little prayer. Listen, I don't mind saying a little prayer if it makes me right before God. But for me to change, is that what you're at? No, that's what God's asking. To change us to be in whose image? Isn't that amazing? That's God's plan. Is that just when we get to heaven, or is that on this side of eternity? Didn't he say to be a royal priesthood, to be a peculiar people, to be a holy people, to be his light? And now we can't do that without him. He must do it in and through us. And so this is what's important, and this is why you don't see lives being changed. Because ours aren't being changed. We who profess and proclaim to know the truth, if God, and I'm not talking about what people see, I'm talking about who we really know that we are. Because there is work that needs to take place that only God can do when we're all by ourselves. And by the way, when we know what he is saying that is right, that's how we measure ourselves. Because if we measure ourselves by ourselves, the Bible says we're not wise. Because I can look at you and I'd say, well, my goodness, you're a great bunch of people. But see, you and God know what's really inside. And I would dare say, knowing the human nature, there is none good. No, not one. And it doesn't matter how many times people come and say, oh, you're such a wonderful church, you're so this, that, and the other. No, what does God say? Because that's who matters. Not what people say. I can say, man, this is a wonderful church, it's a beautiful church, but does that really count? Oh, it might puff us up a little bit. Oh, and it might cause us to do this. Well, my goodness, they think I'm so wonderful, I don't need to do a thing. How will we stand before the Lord? That's what really matters. What does God see? And God sees according to his word, and how much of it can we absolve? How much of it can we go ahead and erase? He said not one jot or one tittle will be removed. That means not one punctuation or one hyphen or an exclamation or anything. He says all of it resides, and that's how we'll be judged. And so we might look at some things and we might think they're little things. But God says no. God says, if you don't forgive your brother or your sister in Christ, what does God say? You won't be forgiven either. Is that little with the Lord? And I wonder how many times people walk around professing to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're allowing the little foxes to spoil the vines. And they don't realize. Listen, this situation, this matter of our relationship with God is not games. We're not playing games. And it's not. And by the way, some people may think, oh, well, it's not all that important. I promise you, the second we close our eyes in death and open them up in eternity, which is a lot longer than this life, we're going to be hit with a reality that's going to blow us away in a negative way. And that's not what God wants to have happen in your life or mine. And so that's why the Word of God is important. Not things that we think we want to hear or that tickle our ears or that make us feel good, but the truth that we might understand and see how we stand. Let me ask you this question. If somebody was going to give you a drink of water and you were really thirsty, where you needed to drink that water and there was no other water and you were getting ready to drink it, and somebody knew that there was an odorless, colorless poison in that, that would kill you the moment you drank it, would you not want them to tell you about it before you drank it? Yeah. And so God is wanting us to know the uttermost truth, that we don't even fool ourselves into thinking we're all right when we're not. Listen, the life of Christ is sought by an understanding of a great need, and that we pursue it, Lord, I would be made whole. Lord, I don't want to walk my way. Lord, I want to walk your way. And Lord, I need you to show me how to walk your way. And please, Lord, don't let me mislead myself into believing something that's not true and that you see quite differently. And I'm excusing myself and I'm drinking this water that's killing me. I'm drinking this philosophy. I'm drinking this understanding in my own head that you don't see the same way. And so God is serious, because you and I will stand before God Almighty and give an account according to his word, not our thinking. And so he's telling this man, what we're looking at is eternal, and it is serious. And so notice what he says here. Bottom of verse 6, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. So you know what that tells me? He's seen people be made whole. You know what that tells me? That means he saw the water being troubled and he was making his way and somebody else got in front of him. This man didn't even have a friend to his name, but he did have Jesus. We may not have a friend that can help us on this side, but if you're a saved child of God, and even if you're not, you have Jesus. Amen. He's the only one that can help us. So he says, I have no man. Listen, would thou be made whole? Maybe he thought, could have thought, why do you think I'm here? Why do you think I make the painstaking effort to show up here waiting for the troubling of the water? That was the foremost thought in his mind. That was what motivated him every day. He really wanted to be made whole. He may have even said, do you know how many times I've tried to walk? Would you try to walk? If you couldn't walk, would you at least try? Maybe today I can have a little strength. Maybe today I can do a little better than I did yesterday. Jesus saith unto him, listen to this, verse 8, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Now, wait a minute. Did he say, are you out of your mind? Do you know how many times I have tried? No, something different happened. He heard the word of God like never before. He heard the command and the word and the promise and listen, was given of all things for this man to believe somebody he had never met before and to listen to him. How does that happen? God was working. God was doing for him and giving him the faith to believe. By the way, if you're here and you profess to be saved, God even gave you the faith to believe him. I know it personally because I said a prayer. And the person, you know what the person told me? Listen, isn't this something? The person told me, you are now a Christian, when I was 23, the first time I said that prayer. You are now a believer. You have your whole, the angels are singing in heaven. They weren't. Because he heard me say a prayer. He told me I was saved. I believed him. I believed him. I didn't experience a thing. All I did was say a prayer. I didn't get excited or anything. I just said, okay, I did what I was supposed to do. So two or three years later, I think I was 21, in fact, and then about 3 years later when I was 24, another fellow approached me with that whole gospel message, and I said, not interested, already heard it, done it. I don't have time for it. You know, to take Sundays out of my day and to give up my way of living. At least I knew that was wrong. And I, by the way, the world would not say you were a sinner. I just listened to the wrong kind of music. I didn't drink alcohol. I didn't get involved in the wrong kinds of things. Well, actually, I did in some things now that I think about it. My thinking and my mouth and some other things were problematic in the eyes of God. Sinful. Sinful. But I didn't kill anybody. I didn't steal from anybody. So George Jancial thought he was pretty good. And surely God, after all, I mean, my goodness, God ought to let me in above all people. And this man, after I told him I wasn't interested, came around and circled back and shared the gospel with me. And God opened up my heart and mind to want to hear what he had to say. I would have never done that on my own. And it got to where when we would go from hospital to hospital doing our neurodiagnostic testing, I would tell him, open up the Bible and read to me while we were traveling to the next hospital. And after about 2 full weeks, and I'd get together with him after work and say, tell me some more. I never wanted to know so much about God in all my life. And God brought it to my attention. You are condemned, evil, and your sins are against me, and you have no righteousness. And I saw that reality the way God wanted me to see it. And I just said, save me, Jesus. That's all I said. And listen, it doesn't have to be this way, but I'm just telling you, there's no doubt in my mind that God intervened on my behalf and pardoned me and gave me eternal life. I knew that. And I think if you're saved, you've got to be able to at least know it. I'm not saying you experienced it the same way, but you got to know that you've been forgiven. And that God, and by the way, And then I started to see sin as God sees it. And I thought, what a horrible thing. I never really agreed with abortion, but I had no problems with it. I had no problems with it. If that's what you want to do, I didn't see it the way God saw it. So Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. That's the difference God makes. And then verse 9 says, and 3 months later, the man was made whole. Is that what your Bible says? And hours later, months, after much prayer and fasting, no. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Does God want us to walk in His grace and His glory? When? When we fast in prayer, pray for it? 3 months down the road? Next year? Today. Today. Now here's the question. Do you realize your infirmity? Because you can't be made, God won't make you whole. And do you know who He is that makes us whole? See, you need to know the infirmity. Lord, I am not walking holy. I didn't say you weren't a saved child of God. But I'm not walking holy. And I do need you to make me whole because I can't do it myself. I've been trying for X amount of years because I love you. See, listen. Peter had to be made whole by the Lord Jesus Christ or he would have continued to deny Him. Abraham, unless the Lord intervened, he was always reliant on himself and what he and his wife could come up with without God. And we'll do the very same thing. Listen, when God is actively working in your life, we will worship. When you see God, when you know yourself. So when you know that you are doing things that you can't do, you will worship the Lord and instantly give Him the credit and not say, oh man, did you see that? Want to see me do that again? No, because I can't do it. I cannot do it. But God can. He can. And verse 10 says, and the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. They were concerned about good things, weren't they? They were concerned about their rules and what they thought, and they missed God. And as long as we do what we think, and you can do that here, and do what we think, you're going to miss the Lord. You're going to be so preoccupied with what you think, because I've done it, you're going to miss the Lord. You're going to be doing things in your own righteousness the way you've always done them, and you'll miss the Lord. Because the Pharisees did it the way they've always done it, and they judged and they saw everything the way they'd done it, but here's one thing they didn't see, the way God does it. Listen, they did not know they were condemning the work of God. And were they not part of the truth? They were. They were of Israel. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. They didn't even ask him, man, you know, you've been there for 38 years. How in the world did they weren't even concerned about his healing? Verse 12, then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, good place to be, and said unto him, remember he was at the pool of Bethesda, now he's in the temple. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Was he made whole? God said he was. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. Jesus said that. You are made whole. The apparatus that condemned you to being paralyzed, at least in the legs, the nature that causes us to walk wrong was made whole. So here's the question this morning. As God's people, would we be made whole? That's what God wants to know. He's already given you the promise. If you're a saved child of God, and this is who we're talking to, God has already given to us His Holy Spirit that would empower us. Would we be made whole? Not, oh, I got heaven. No, no, no. Would we be made whole, spiritually speaking, to be a godly child, to be one of a royal priesthood, to be one that lives in the grace and the glory of God, that brings forth the light of God in our everyday lives, that our families can see God has made a change? And that we enjoy that fellowship and that relationship. Hey, that'll improve your prayer life like nothing else. That'll improve your where was that man? Did you see where that man was after he was made whole? Was he back at the pool of Bethesda, or was he in the temple? That will make your prayer life, that will make your Bible reading, that will make your commitment to the church of God on fire for the Lord. I dare say he had a little bit of revival taking place and a little bit more of an interest in the things of God. Did he not? So here's the question this morning. Do we believe the Lord when we read His Word? Do you believe the Word of God? Amen. Carefully look at the Word of God, and you will hear this. I have given you my promises. All that's required is that you believe. That's it. That you put your faith and your trust in what I've said. And so this morning, God might be saying to you, He may not be. I don't know. But if you're a child of God, I do know this. It's the will of God that you be like the Lord Jesus Christ, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice. We can't even do that without God's direction. So this morning, here's what God says to you and I. Would you be made whole as Christ was whole? Would you be made like the Lord Jesus Christ? I didn't say sinless perfection, but I said victory. God is saying victory like you've never seen it before. Did God give victory to Peter and to those who followed the Lord? Did He give them victory? Amen. Did He show them how to walk? Amen. He wants to show us. So I hope God is saying to you, would you be made whole? Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your Word, the wisdom and understanding that You bring to our hearts and minds. Lord, may we see the seriousness of the matter, the urgency of what You've revealed to us. And Lord, we could reject Your truths that You've given to us and just continue in our own way instead of Yours. I pray that You would open up and awaken us, Lord, that we might not be found sleeping when You return or walking in our own way, but that we might lean to You and all of our understanding and all of our wisdom and walk in Your ways by Your grace and power. Bless Your Word and Your people, and we'll give You all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.